Bueno, es esa gente de Great Joy, to have this mass. And so I want to explain to you a great devotion we have in Spanish countries. This is very timely for this crisis, this darkness that we are undergoing. Darkness of faith, darkness of morals, darkness of hope, of charity. So I want to explain to you this devotion because it's what Our Lady Fatima wanted, and also what the Apocalypse explains for these times of darkness. So first, this is Our Lady of Solitude, and this is the devotion that we have in countries, Spanish countries especially, on Good Friday. So you are familiar with the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So the traditional seven sorrows devotion, the fifth sorrow says the following: Our Lord, the Blessed Virgin Mary contemplates Our Lord dying on the cross, and her solitude starts at that moment. So the sixth sorrow is when the Blessed Virgin Mary received the body of Christ in her arms. The seventh sorrow is when Our Lady buries Our Lord Jesus Christ. But there are more sorrows in her solitude after the burial of Our Lord. Next sorrow is when the Blessed Virgin Mary contemplates the sepulchre of Our Lord already with the stone on place. It's blocked already, it's closed, the sepulchre of Our Lord. So Our Lady contemplates from far away, so in such a way that the solitude of the Blessed Virgin Mary is greater and greater and greater as time passes by. So she already is, the sepulchre is closed. She is not having the joy of looking at Our Lord's body and his sacred divine body and his most sacred precious blood that she was able to touch and to handle by when she received the body of Our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's farther and farther from the consolations from the presence of Our Lord and his instrumentals of his passion. So next sorrow of Our Lady in her solitude is when Our Lady, after the sepulchre was closed, she comes back to Calvary. The cross is empty. The red cross, stained with the blood, but empty already. This is the cross of the Benedictines of our congregation, the Red Cross, which signifies that we had to fill in the cross. Our Lord wants us to be at the side of with Our Lady, filling in the empty cross, which is our cooperation in the redemption of mankind together with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, for the Benedictines, because we are the Sacred Heart of Benedictines, the Sacred Heart of Jesus wanted us to be a victim souls by wearing the Red Cross and considering ourselves crucified with Our Lord in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary. No? So, next step of the solitude is when Our Lady says goodbye to the sacred places, to the divine places where Our Lord was performed his passional death. So she had less consolation because she is not present anymore to the holy places, the holy sepulchre, the Calvary, even if Our Lord is not there anymore in that moment. So she's said goodbye to the holy places. Is another step in her solitude. Next step is when she goes to the cenacle with St. John that Friday night with the holy women. And they are in sorrow, great deep sorrow in the darkness of that night. Everybody tried to console the Blessed Virgin Mary, but especially to be in her presence. And it's enough in that moment to be at her presence. And after comes the Holy Saturday, next step in her solitude, where she is the one who consoles those who are in the cenacle. So it is our life on earth. Holy Saturday at that moment is our life on earth, and especially on this end of times darkness. Because our Lord has been taken away from the churches, the cathedrals, and the parishes, and was put into exile, is not found anymore. So we are like in Holy Saturday. There is no Mass that day, no liturgy that day. We are just in sorrow with Our Lady, expecting this resurrection, but still our Lord is absent. We don't have communion even that day. But the day in which we practice with a perfection our consecration to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Why? Because we belong to her. We don't have consolations. We are not seeking after us. We don't have pity on us, but we focus in the Blessed Virgin Mary, in her sorrow, in her solitude. And at that moment, we try to console her, but she is the one who consoles us, really. So at that moment, she was the only one who kept the faith completely, the one who was giving the apostles and the disciples the consolation of the resurrection about to come. And she is the one who, after the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord, she kept 20 years still accompanying the born Catholic Church with St. John. She was there, available to pray for the Catholic Church and to help them as a good mother. But still, those 20 years was still a great solitude. Why? Because she being perfect, because she's immaculate in her body, in her soul. So she had alive in her mind, in her memory, even in her senses. She had alive all the happenings of Good Friday, Holy Saturday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, Good Friday. So she had alive in her mind all that happened to our Lord, all the passion and the offenses, the outrages, and all that he suffered was fresh in her mind, never diminished in her mind, in her memory, every detail of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why those 20 years of St. John taking care of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that was exactly what we are supposed to do now, because she has been left alone, Blessed Virgin Mary. Our Lord is absent almost everywhere. And she suffers first the outrages against our Lord Jesus Christ, who is being crucified again every day by our sins. And she suffers also because we want to go to hell, because we commit mortal sins, we don't practice the faith, we are in apostasy. In general, Catholics are in apostasy. So her solitude is deeper and deeper. And she suffered precisely as a minister of the four graces. And she had to suffer also, according to the theologians, together with our Lord, the co-redemptrix. She had to suffer also with our Lord. But especially what we don't realize is that the message of Fatima is precisely to accompany Our Lady in her solitude. Because in Fatima, our Lord wants us to repair the offenses against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. A her, against her maternity and her virginity and all the her Immaculate Conception, her privileges. So, in Fatima, our Lord revealed to us what is the most important intention that he has on earth. Because he loves the Blessed Virgin Mary more than all the saints and angels together, put together. So he revealed to us what he asked to St. John alone to do, which is accompany Our Lady, to console, to wipe out her tears, to imitate her, but especially to be consecrated to her, to be consecrated, to practice our consecration, which it means to be a slave of love at her service, just focusing in her needs, in her sorrow, in her desolation, and to give souls to her and in service to her will in the midst of darkness. And this is also portrayed in the Apocalypse, because in the Apocalypse, when the two beasts appear and the dragon appears with the two beasts of the Apocalypse, which St. John narrates that God went to rescue the women and give to her two wings as of eagle to flee to the desert, wherein she will be protected from the dragon, and she, there in the desert, she will be fed for 3 years and a half, no? The Apocalypse. And the saints commenting this passage, they said that the church, of course, Mary with the church, so the Mary and the children, so the Catholic Church, being with Mary in the desert, seeking refuge in Mary, but in the desert, means we don't see consolation, we are in darkness, we are persecuted. And so it's what the Apocalypse said, the dragon. The dragon threw out of his mouth a river of water to swallow to damage or to cause damage to the women in the desert. And the Apocalypse said that the earth came to rescue, came to help the women, and the earth swallowed this river that the dragon threw against the women. So this is precisely the image of the St. John's, so the children who will be at the end of times accompanying Mary in her solitude, in her sorrows, consoling her, offering their lives in order to that she will be consoled, be repaired. This is the message of Fatima. And also, if you notice in the image of Our Lady of Solitude, she's contemplating the instruments of the Passion, the nails, the crown of thorns, the slashes, the whips with which Our Lord was the scourging of the pillar. And this was a real event. On Good Friday, she was contemplating the instruments of the Passion and the cross. And was alive, and is alive still, you know. Our Lady never lost sight upon those events of the Passion of Our Lord. She really is the example of how to live Mass perpetually in our life. How to turn our life as a sacrifice of the Mass is to live like Our Lady. To have fresh in our mind the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to be in a sacrifice mode, saving souls together with Mary at the foot of the cross. So this is why very powerful. So I will leave to you a copy of this because we need to focus more to foster this consecration to Mary that we have done, to console her, to repair her. And it's beautiful to remember that the three children of Fatima, they were doing that. It's very important in order to be convinced how important is this this devotion of Mary in her solitude. Why? Because if you remember the three children of Fatima, Our Lady opened to them hell, promising heaven, but opening hell to them. They saw the souls of, and at real time, they saw the souls condemned, going into hell, dropping in a great numbers, going to hell in real time. And she said, see how many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and do sacrifices for them. And we know that the best way to pray and do sacrifices for souls is to do it in Mary, through Mary, by Mary, with our consecration. Basically to imitate the soul of Mary, to contemplate the soul of Mary in order to be able to pray and do the reparation and satisfaction and penance as she did it. And she wants us to do it. And for that reason, the three children of Fatima, they saw hell. They saw the reason why they go to hell. They saw the heaven asking them and us to repair Mary. They asked, heaven asked them to pray the rosary unceasingly praying the rosary, doing sacrifices for sinners, but often indeed them to Mary, in order to save those souls. So the three children of Fatima had those concepts very well fresh and strong in their minds, in their wills. So if we remember the children of Fatima, they were full time looking for penances, sacrifices, and praying rosaries the whole time, to give it to Mary in order to save souls. This is what we are supposed to be doing. They say that Francisco, for example, he will pray 15 rosaries a day because he will not cease to pray. They will not stop doing penance. They will not put limits to penance and to prayer. I think that is the spirit of the devotion to Mary. Love has no limits. We cannot put limits to the amount of rosary, the amount of generosity, the amount of penances and fastings and whatever we can do in our without missing our duty of state, striving to do all that we can, focusing in Mary's sorrows and consoling her. So it's the greatest vocation, the greatest calling is to be able to do something for Mary. This is why it's no coincidence that St. John, the most pure, the most virgin, the most young of the apostles, had that privilege. And it's no coincidence that Archbishop Lefebvre, his priesthood comes from St. John Evangelist. So Archbishop Lefebvre is the only prelate who was faithful at the foot of the cross in the midst of darkness of the church, together with Mary. Archbishop Lefebvre recommended precisely the consecration to Servet de Montfort as the strongest weapon to serve Mary and Jesus and Mary. So Archbishop Lefebvre, by being at the foot of the cross, it's no coincidence that his priesthood comes from St. John Evangelist. It's like God saying, in the midst of the passion and death of the church, not death, but the passion of the church, is Archbishop Lefebvre and his children at the foot of the cross with Mary and the cenacle at the foot of the cross with Mary consoling her. We are the children of Archbishop Lefebvre and St. John Evangelist in order to take care of Mary and her solitude. This is exactly, I think, exactly what we are supposed to be doing now. So let's not lose the focus. And of course, if we want to repair Mary, it means that we don't want to commit sin. Automatically, we will be giving up sin, at least voluntary, and deliberate venial sins and mortal sins, of course. If we really want to be a good children and repair Mary's heart and be at her side, to be worthy to be receiving healing in our house like St. John, we have to be healthy in sin and engaged in practicing our consecration, focusing in her sorrows and repairing her heart and giving rosaries and penances in order to save souls. This is the one of the great teachings of this devotion of Mary in her solitude. So we continue, we ask St. Anthony, who has been doing many miracles to us also, we ask him today and to St. Joseph to give us the grace to understand these realities, to have the wisdom of the cross, and to love Mary and to have the devotion that we are supposed to be having to her in her solitude, because she is the one, the main one, who is suffering for this crisis after our Lord Jesus Christ. So what we suffer is nothing in comparison to what Mary has suffered and is suffering now for what is being done to our Lord, to the church, and of course souls, to souls. So let's continue with the Mass, and with the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.